Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Yes,
and we are recording long distance today.
Yeah.
I am in Missouri. Gosh, I was like, where am I?
Yeah, where am I right now? And I am in my apartment with both of my dogs who now, as soon as we've pressed record, have decided to start attacking each other, which is great. So,
of course. Of course. They're like, are you doing something important?
Let me attack your sister now. This would be
great.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in. I actually feel like I have a lot to talk about today, which is not usually the case.
Really?
I have
something that I am itching to talk to you about. Can we jump into that?
I wonder if it's the same thing.
I bet it is.
Is it Jussie Smollett?
It's fucking Jussie Smollett.
Yep. Okay.
What the fuck, Keegan? I'm so disappointed.
Oh, no. I just got done talking to my mom in the car. I'm furious.
Like, I'm furious, too, because...
Furious?
It's one of those things, too, that, like, we showed such, like... sincerity toward him on the show.
Everybody did.
And like, we were feeling so enraged for him that he would do something like this because of something so trivial. And when I read it this morning, I didn't even believe it. I was like, oh, maybe like it's just an alleged report. But no, he turned himself into the police.
Right. So to kind of fill everybody in. So we talked about this a few episodes ago, a couple of weeks ago, I feel like now. There was Jussie Smollett, who is an actor. He is also a gay rights activist, openly gay performer, came out and said that he was attacked by two men who put a noose around his neck and poured bleach on him, and said, like, this is MAGA country or something like that. And pretty quickly, I wanted to believe him.
Of course.
And I did believe him completely. I think
because why wouldn't you when
did.
You get when you say an allegation like that? It's kind of the same thing like when women come forward saying that they were sexually abused. You should give someone the benefit of the doubt,
right? Because I think false reports are so much more rare than legitimate reports. That I think that is typically the default. And then even when things were coming out pretty quickly where it's like he didn't want to give up his phone to the police. And I was like, well, I can see why not. Like, I don't think that automatically makes him suspicious or guilty or anything. And then even as I was watching throughout the week as other things were coming forward, like, so then it became clear that one of the men was someone who had worked as an extra on Empire. So even then I was like, people were like, oh, there's a connection. But I was still like, well, who knows? Like, maybe they had some kind of beef on Empire.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why this guy wanted to do this thing. And even when these two guys were caught, they're brothers, they were caught and they came out and said that he paid them to do this. I was still like, okay, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not true. I was still kind of thinking in my head, well, I still want to believe him because
of course
the alternative to believing him is acknowledging that this man would be so disgusting as to use something that is so visceral in the Black community as a noose, as evoking lynching and bleach.
Yeah.
That he would do that to this community
is
that he
absolutely disgusting. It's evil.
It's
really
disgusting. Yeah. And he says he's serving these communities. And then for him to do it for such a dumb reason.
And I was reading like some reports were saying because he was worried that his character was going to be taken off the show. I was reading that it was simply because of a salary raise. Either way, like, there are other more genuine ways of going about it, especially if you are supposedly an advocate. Like, I feel like that should just be such an obvious thing. Like, this is toying with people on such a grand scale. And my boyfriend brought up a really interesting point this morning where he was saying, like, this is exactly what the right claims that the left does all the time.
Like, right, which isn't true.
Which is not true at all.
It's a very rare occurrence, but he has done such a disservice to all actual victims at this point.
But now, he's actually done it. And this is something that, and Donald Trump did make a tweet. Like, this is something that they can point to and be like, look, they did do this. You know what I mean?
And
like,
they probably do it all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's totally fucking everybody over. It's such such a selfish act he did.
So
it really is.
Selfish. It's so selfish. It's honestly, like, I'm furious and I'm upset for everyone who stood behind him. I'm upset for his family.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Who came out, all of them came out united with statements supporting their brother, son.
Because he must have kept it a secret from all of them too.
Which I was telling my mom, again, it is something that hits you at your core.
Yeah.
Something like both bleach and lynching are things that,
I mean, it affected us.
Used. Right. Right. And they've been used in the Black community for a long time as like methods of fear.
Yeah.
And if one of my brothers came to me and told me that that happened to him, I would be so devastated and it would take such an emotional toll on me.
Yeah.
That if I found out that he looked me in my face and lied to me mm-hmm. about something like that, I would be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Furious. I mean, I'm like, I still love you because you're my brother, but like,
it's
I'm so furious.
Yeah, it's really devastating.
And it's also stupid. He's ruined his own career. It's over.
Yeah, it's like, completely it's over. And he had to have, I mean, did he not realize that he's totally risking that by doing something like that? Like,
he wrote them a check.
Yeah.
He wrote them a check.
Yeah.
Which means that he had to be
dumb.
So arrogant to think that he wouldn't get caught. Like, unreal. Unreal.
Did we delete our post about him yet?
We didn't, but I think we should.
I'm going to do it right now because you know what? Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I regret ever having put support behind.
100%.
Behind you. And it's such, he's done such a disservice to the Black community and to the LGBTQ community. It's heartbreaking and really upsetting. But yeah, I don't think he'll ever work again. He's definitely getting written
because
off of Empire. There's no way.
He's untrustworthy. He's untrustworthy. There's somebody who does something that extreme, there's no turning back from that. There isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So, I'm just so frustrated with it.
Yeah. I'm really devastated. Okay. So let's move on to our next story. So I kind of wanted to talk about Karl Lagerfeld passed away. On Tuesday. And Karl Lagerfeld was Chanel's creative director.
Mm-hmm.
He, if you saw pictures of him, you'd recognize him. He had a very
distinct look.
Recognizable, distinct look, yes. And he passed away at the age of 85. He was kind of known as like the king of fashion. I have seen a lot of posts going around mourning his loss, especially in some fashion groups and people are really posting a lot about it. Even celebrities like Janelle Monáe posted about it. I think it's important to recognize the fact that Karl Lagerfeld was a really shitty human being.
Yeah, that's something that I had always heard as well, which is why it was surprising to me, the reaction, because yes, he is a legend, a legacy when it comes to Chanel. But at the same time, like there's so many shady people in fashion, and I don't know a whole lot about him, but from what I do know is definitely one of them. And it's just very odd that sometimes when people die, it's almost like we forget some of the really horrible things they've done while they were alive.
Yeah. And I think even when he was alive, people were far quicker to call him like eccentric than they were to actually call him out for what he was. I think the woman from The Good Place, Jamila.
Yeah.
Is that her name?
I think so. I love her.
Yes. She actually called him out and said that he was a terrible person. She's like, I'm not trying to celebrate him. But so just to highlight some of the things that Karl Lagerfeld did and said when he was alive. Well, first of all, that famous cat that he takes around with him everywhere.
Yeah, I'm Googling it right now, and I just see the cat on the People Chupette magazine website.
Yes, so cute. But he stole that cat.
What?
Yes, he stole that cat. There was a French model who asked him to like look after his cat while he was gone.
And then when he came back,
yeah, when he came back to get it, Karl Lagerfeld was like, no, the cat stays. Bye. Which I'm like, it's really messed up. But okay, so here's some things other than that, which is already pretty shady.
I mean,
that Karl Lagerfeld has done. In 2017, he stated that Syrian and Muslim migrants weren't welcome in Europe. He said, and I quote, "One cannot, even if there are decades between them, kill millions of Jews just so you can bring millions of their worst enemies in their place." Talking about Muslims. And this was just days after there were neo-Nazis and white nationalists gathered in Poland, and they were chanting "Pure Poland, White Poland," and like "Refugees get out."
Yeah,
and that's at that's the time whenever Karl Lagerfeld made that statement, which seems to align with the white nationalist views there.
Yeah,
he in an interview, he said that it would be a shame to be saddled with a, quote, "ugly daughter," and that having children was for women, not for men. And he also stated that Coco Chanel was not a feminist because she wasn't ugly enough for that. So only ugly women are feminists. Did you know that?
Sorry to break it to you, Keegan. I mean, you're hearing it first.
It's a bummer. Ugly. I'm having to grapple with my entire, like... My entire being now. That's crazy.
Newsflash, we're ugly.
I had no idea.
I thought I was gorgeous this whole time. I guess I was wrong.
He also said that there was no need to discuss eating disorders in connection to the modeling community because more women in Paris were fat than thin. So clearly it wasn't a big enough of an issue. That we should be focused on fat women because there aren't enough thin women to talk about how the fashion industry might be contributing to eating disorders. So there was that. He also, he was also opposed to featuring any plus size models in media, saying, quote, "No one wants to see curvy women. You've got fat mothers with their bags of chips sitting in front of the television and saying thin models are ugly. Fashion is about dreams and illusion."
This sounds like the guy from Victoria's Secret where he kind of said the same thing. Yeah,
it's kind of the same mentality.
Yeah.
He said about Adele, he said, "Adele is a little too fat, but she has a beautiful face and a divine voice. But she's too fat, so that's something you should know." He also said, "Heidi Klum, one of the most beautiful women in the world."
Yeah.
He said, "She is no runway model. She is simply too heavy and has too big a bust."
Shut the fuck up.
I know. And then
you can
here's
go fuck yourself.
The piece de resistance. In a 2018 interview, Lagerfeld stated that he was, quote, "fed up with the hashtag MeToo movement," and that what shocked him the most was, quote, "the starlets who have taken 20 years to remember what happened, not to mention the fact that there are no prosecution witnesses, as if the problem was memory and as if there are usually witnesses to sexual assaults."
Really?
He continues with, "If you don't want your pants pulled about, don't become a model. Join a nunnery. There'll always be a place for you in the convent. They're recruiting even." So basically, if you don't want to get raped, don't be a model.
Shit.
If you don't want to be assaulted, don't be a model.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, that's the thing that one really bothers me, where he says that if you don't want to get your, what was the quote? If you don't want your pants pulled down.
If you don't want your pants pulled about, don't become a model.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, a lot of like models that I've spoken with have talked a lot about like the sexual abuse in the industry and everything. And like, it's so prevalent. And if you are a name in that industry, you should be doing everything that you can to help keep models safe and prevent that stuff from happening. Instead of saying like, "Oh, well, you chose this career. This is what you get."
He clearly doesn't care about what happens to women, which is also really upsetting because this is someone who has built his career on the backs of women.
Like, exactly.
He designs for women's fashion.
Exactly.
So for him to not care at all about the safety of these women, whether that be because of eating disorders.
They're just cash cows. You know what I mean?
They're hangers. They're walking hangers. And like, they don't matter. They're objects and it doesn't matter about anything.
Well, and they're making him money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's all he cares about.
That's the thing. They're just making
objects.
You money. So you should have a little bit more respect for them, you know?
Definitely. But he doesn't, because he sees them as just means to an end of, you know, his financial success.
Yeah, so I really want to stop this like hero worshiping of people after they die.
Oh, 100%. As if they were
good people all along, you know?
Yeah. You can say that, yes, this man was very talented and made an impact on the fashion industry and still call him out for the horrible things that he did as a human being.
Right. Talent and being a terrible person are clearly not mutually exclusive. Look at R. Kelly. You know,
yeah, like, exactly.
You can be highly talented and still be a really bad person who does exactly. really bad things.
Exactly. What, is R. Kelly going to pass away and everyone's like missing him? I don't think so. I hope not. You know what I mean? I mean,
only the people who are defending him right now, you know?
That's true. Like, I mean, I just think Karl Lagerfeld, again, like you said, was just seen as this eccentric and kind of like got away with a lot of stuff because of his name and who he worked for and possibly even his age and his privilege as an older white man that right. people I mean, kind of excuse it.
This was also the fault of the publications who interviewed him, because very mm-hmm. often his comments, his like racist, sexist, misogynistic comments, Islamophobic comments would be taken as quote unquote controversial or eccentric.
Yeah.
Rather than out and out just calling it what it was, which yeah. was
hatred.
Racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, I just kind of wanted to highlight that because...
No, I think that's really important. I wanted to talk a little bit about the national emergency. This is
the state of emergency we are currently in.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not my like forte, learning about all like the politics and stuff and everything. So yeah. I did my best to kind of like understand what's going on. And I wanted to talk about how Nancy Pelosi is urging Congress to come together to create a bill to counter Trump's national emergency, because he's already kind of facing a bunch of lawsuits and kind of going against the Constitution in a lot of ways. So this is what Nancy Pelosi says. She says, "All members take an oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. The president's decision to go outside the bounds of the law to try to get what he failed to achieve in the constitutional legislative process violates the Constitution and must be terminated. We have a solemn responsibility to uphold the Constitution and defend our system of checks and balances against the president's assault." So they have till 3 p.m. today, which is Thursday when we're recording this, to sign the resolution, which will be introduced Friday. So tomorrow, by the time this episode comes out, there will be more information. So Trump declared the national emergency last Friday after he signed a spending bill that would keep the government open and provide $1.375 billion for a border wall, billions less than he had originally wanted. Texas Congressman Castro says, "Historically, presidents have declared national emergencies for urgent matters of national security. President Trump would unconstitutionally usurp congressional authority by declaring an emergency based upon unfounded hype rather than any substantive emergency," the Texas Democrat said last Thursday in a statement. Castro added that such a baseless declaration of President Trump would set a dangerous precedent regarding the constitutional balance of powers between the executive and the legislative branches. So the Democrats right now are really trying to kind of pass a bill as quickly as they can to kind of like cut off this national emergency. And it seems like he did this national emergency because he can keep the government going, but still kind right. of put people in enough state of panic to try to give him what he wants.
Right. I mean, but even the wording surrounding it, I mean, he even said that it was a choice that he was making, which like by definition, that's not an emergency then. Like yeah. you're choosing to do it now and you're doing it as a...
it's a tantrum. This whole thing is really him like, just throwing yeah. a tantrum.
Yeah. It's a power move because you feel like you can, because you feel like you have some kind of executive power yeah. To be able to do it. But it also sets a really weird precedent for people moving forward on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
It sets a very strange precedent if a president can just declare a state of national emergency
yeah.
when it
all willy-nilly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have you seen John Mulaney's stand-up that he did recent? It's like one of his more recent ones on Netflix.
Probably.
Dude,
I've seen John Mulaney stand-up.
The horse in the hospital skit?
Yes. I mean, saw that live, actually.
You did? Oh, my God. I mean, that's totally yeah. what's happening. It's like the horse has never been in the hospital before. You don't know what's going to happen. And like,
we just don't know. We have no clue what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's like
it's not even...
It's like
it's not anything that we've had any experience with at all.
I just love it when it's like the horse is being too quiet today. Like we don't trust the horse. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
And then all of a sudden, the horse is in the baby wing.
Yes. Exactly.
This just seems so applicable right now. My God, it's like the horse has never been in a hospital before. He doesn't know what he's doing, so he's just fucking doing it.
I'm curious to see how this will pan out. This will be interesting to see how this will pan out.
I mean, I feel like this isn't going to look good for his popularity either. Like, none of this is looking good for him, right?
Well, except for some people will see this as an actual state of emergency. People who believe the things that he says are going to think that we are in an actual state of emergency and that this was necessary in some way. I think he knew he couldn't shut the government down again because that would be so bad for his numbers.
Yeah.
But I think also his ego is damaged because he accepted less money this time.
Yeah.
Than he was even offered before the government was shut down in the first place.
Exactly. And
Embarrassing.
That's very embarrassing to him. Yeah. And I think it's also continually embarrassing that he is unable to keep his promise of this wall that he based his entire candidacy on.
Campaign.
You know, I just feel like you have to learn when to step away from things like that. There are so many better ways that he could have handled this in a mature way. And we're so far past that.
In the very beginning, I think Democrats offered him a crazy amount of money to fund his wall, like a long, long time ago, the very first proposal.
And it wasn't enough.
It wasn't that it wasn't enough. Like they offered him, I think, whatever he was asking for. Like they offered him billions and billions of dollars. But on the condition that he would also allow the Dreamers, who are people who were brought over here as children, to stay.
Yeah.
They were like, we will give you money for your wall if you allow the Dreamers to stay.
Right.
And he said no. So now the Democrats are in control of the House and he is wasted all the time that he had in control of both the House and the Senate. So this is on him. Like, this is his fault.
Yeah.
He did this. So now he's having to live with that. I'll be interested to see how it pans out.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't know what to expect from all of this. Really, it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, stay tuned to see what happens. Like,
yeah, what will happen next on this weird reality show that we now call our government. Okay, so speaking of that kind of, Bernie Sanders has announced his candidacy for 2020. He will be running in 2020.
Max got a text last night.
Feelings. Yes. Whether or not you are still going to support him. Like, is that the text?
Yeah, it was like,
I got a text.
Yeah, just letting you know, he's running again. And Max was like, can I just text back? He's too old.
I mean, here's the thing about it. I have feelings about this. I voted for Bernie in the primary in 2016. However, there are issues here. I am worried that he is going to pull votes the way that he did in the 2016 election, because I still know a lot of people who are Bernie or Busters, you know, and like will continue, even if he doesn't get the nomination, to write in his name and split the Democratic vote, which I think is
well. Hopefully, he would speak out against that. Hopefully, he would say if he didn't make it.
He did in the 2016 election.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he took his time. He took way too long, but he did that in the 2016 election. So and people still didn't listen. So I don't know.
That's true.
He is also, I think, probably just because he's so old, his focus is so much more on class than race, which I totally understand in some respects. But he made some comments during the 2016 election that kind of troubled me in that, like, he doesn't understand that. Yes, I think that people have more in common based on class.
Yeah.
I think that poor black people and poor white people have more in common than a poor white person and a rich white person, for instance.
Like,
so I get that those class lines, we can come together on like that class issue, but to act as though class and race don't intersect for some people and compound and make things more
difficult, a bit ignorant.
is something that he needs to acknowledge.
Yeah.
Moving forward. But I'm interested to see how this pans out because when he was running before, I think there weren't a lot of people running on his same platform, which was like universal health care, universal basic income. And in the 2020 election. Yes, exactly. So it'll be interesting for me to see who gets the nomination.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely panning out to for me to be one of the most exciting potential elections because we have so many great people thrown in the mix and, you know, a few wild cards and a few people that we're not as excited about. But it's nice to see so many people coming forward with like a Bernie-esque mentality where and even improving upon that because we really loved Bernie in 2016 because of a lot of his beliefs and ideals. And so to see some of these younger, more diverse people come forward and add to that is something that's really beautiful and wonderful. And I'm very excited to see how it's all going to pan out. And hopefully, you know, whoever wins the primary is able to pull through, you know?
Yeah, the candidates look very diverse, which is really exciting. I mean, we've got a lot of different ethnicities thus far.
Yeah.
A lot of women running
or,
you know, hoping to run. So that's exciting. I'm kind of excited. It's very early days to be even really talking about it. But
I think it's still important too. And I think it's giving people a lot of hope because we have to see the light at the end of the tunnel right now. There's so much darkness that by talking about it, it's making all of us a little bit hopeful for the end. Dogs. Did you just hear that?
I did.
Someone just ran into a wall. So, yeah, I feel like it's all about hope right now. And I feel like that's why it's important for us to talk about it because it is bringing us closer and closer to possibly an ending to this horrible administration.
Yeah. And I'm not throwing my weight behind any one candidate yet.
No,
like,
no, it's way too early for that.
Still too soon. And so, like, I've seen people already having, like, Kamala Harris 2020, I'm ready, you know? Or even I've seen people Bernie 2020. And I'm like, I'm going to wait and let everyone be heard and see where everyone lands and then make a decision based on that.
Agreed.
So we'll see. We'll see.
I know.
Do you have anything else?
I really don't.
Okay. I just had one thing that we can touch on kind of quickly.
Okay.
It's not even really news, but it's something that I kind of wanted to chat with you about and get your opinion on because we had a listener on Instagram suggest a topic to talk about, and that was Ariana Grande and whether or not
I was thinking about mentioning that
her to be problematic or not.
Yeah.
So, when we say that, we mean for me, I didn't watch whatever show that was she was on before.
Oh, I did a little bit.
I didn't watch it. So I had no knowledge of her before she became a pop artist.
Are they talking about the show?
No. So, well, I had no knowledge of her before she became a pop artist. So I thought that she was Latina. Like, I thought she was Latina.
Oh.
Because I just assumed. Because she's so grande and she's brown.
Yeah.
Like, she's brown.
No. She looks... I was just talking to Haley about this, actually, because we were looking at photos from before and now. She was, like... She's lost a ton of weight. She definitely had plastic surgery. White. She was white as fuck. And yeah, she is another one who's definitely adapted to different cultures. And I do think it's very problematic, to be honest. And I think that she's flown under the radar because so many people were like you, Keegan, where they weren't really aware of what she was before. And either that or just didn't really care, you know, saw her make this change of image because I think there's a lot of people that don't really believe in cultural appropriation or see it as being any big deal.
Well, I know a lot of people who still don't care because they feel like she, which is why I wanted to bring it up because I think it's kind of polarizing. Some people care a lot. Some people don't care at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they see it as like, well, this is a white girl who tans and like a lot of white girls tan. But
right. But it's
like
not just about that.
Is bordering on brown face. It is so dark.
Yeah.
And I do think she leans into the idea that people think that she's Latina.
Yes.
And then I think she further compounds that by use of like a lot of AA, like EV language, which is that like African American vernacular.
Yeah.
Slang terms, even in her speech pattern and the way she sings.
Yeah.
I feel like, And
well, and it's her again, style in general to say, too. Like, she definitely has a certain style that I feel like can border on, I mean, definitely be cultural appropriation in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say that, like, you can't sing a certain way if you're not Black or Latina. I'm just saying, I think she's leaning in really hard.
Right. She's
into
not
these.
She's norms. Not celebrate. She's not like doing it in a way that is showing a celebration for that. She's claiming it as her own and really capitalizing on it.
To the point where, I completely was surprised that she was Italian. Like, I thought that, and people have said, well, she's part Sicilian and Sicilians are darker.
No, she used to be white.
But she was real white before. So I'm like, she is making a conscious decision to be that brown.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, listeners, let us know how you feel about it. Do you feel like it's an issue? Do you feel like it's a non-issue?
Yeah.
Where do you land on it and why?
I'm personally not really a big fan. I really liked Thank You Next. I really enjoyed that song.
I enjoy her music. I think it's catchy.
Yeah. I mean, that's not really the type of music that I tend to listen to on my own. But like when I'm around other people who really like pop music, like I'll get into it and things like that, whatever. But I'm not like a super fan of hers or whatever. So she's not really on my radar all the time. But I think there are a lot of things that she's done that are just annoying to me, especially because I kind of knew who she was. I mean, not knew, but like remember seeing her as a child and just kind of being like, what have you done? Like, everybody grows up. I get that. But it is really.
Yeah, and I think she is growing into a person who I like more. She did a lot of things that really annoyed me, I think, kind of earlier on in her career.
Yeah, same.
But she's growing up and like there are things that
I think
she's
it would be good for her to.
I
feel like it would be good for her to. To talk about that and to kind of speak on her transformation and on some of the things that people are calling her out for. I think that would be a really good move on her part to come forward and discuss it.
I think it's interesting because I know my knee-jerk reaction was like, ooh, I don't like that. Like, that makes me feel weird. But I've talked to other people who are like, you know, this is just a white girl who tans. Like, I've known lots of white girls who tan and, like, it's not a problem for them. Yeah. So. Yeah,
it is kind of it's not a black and white situation, no pun intended. You know, it's like, I don't know where she's coming from. It would be nice to hear her speak on some of that. But she has been under fire for cultural appropriation many times before. So it would be nice to see her stand up for that. I do think that she has done a lot of really great things for standing up for women. And I really like that. But I feel like a lot of times when celebrities do that, it is very much not in the intersectional feminist realm, but more in the white feminist realm, where I would really like for her to speak up more about the cultural appropriation in her industry and her own allegations. Or her own suspicions of that, I think would be really good for her to do.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you guys have any thoughts on that or any topics that you'd like us to discuss, either for Women's History Month that is coming up fast, or if you have any coming out stories that we can share, because I think we will do another coming out episode. Mm-hmm. Please send those to us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. You can also get us on Instagram and DM us at Neighborhood Feminist. Oh, I also wanted to say thank you to
our Instagram isn't at Neighborhood Feminist.
Sorry, at Neighborhood Feminist. I was distracted because I wanted to make sure that I thanked the person who did reach out to us on Instagram suggesting that we talk about Ariana Grande. So thank you for reaching out to us. And yeah, that is at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can also get us on Twitter at YANF Podcast, YANF Podcast. And you can find us on Facebook. We have a business page as well as a Facebook group. You can review us on our Facebook business page as well as on Apple Podcasts. We always look forward to your reviews. Yes. And is that
it? Yeah, I think so. Thanks, you guys, for always putting up with us when we have to do this long distance. It's definitely weird for us.
Yeah, it is.
But thank you. And dogs, please be quiet. Penny, I'm almost done. Penny, one more minute. With all of that being said, and all the barks in the background, we encourage you to rage on.
Bye.
Bye.